We titled our message this morning, Moment of Decision. This is the second sermon in a three-part series on the war on truth. Last time in Moment of Decline, we laid the foundation for what we need to preach on today. We saw how postmodernism is a false way of viewing truth in our present culture and how it has impacted our church. And today we want to look at postmodernism's impact in our homes. God had chosen the nation of Israel to be bearer of the truth. God was in their midst and showed them right from wrong. The nations around them, as they journeyed to the promised land and entered the promised land, they were evil nations, full of untruth and falsehoods and lies. God had directed Israel, the bearer of truth, to destroy all the other nations because they were evil and full of untruth. In chapter 8, they destroyed the people of Ai. Chapter 6, they destroyed Jericho and its people. In chapter 3, Joshua had promised, "Hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from among you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites." When they went out of the camp, they always eventually prevailed in battle. Truth always won over evil outside the camp. In this war of good versus evil, God's chosen nation versus the evil nation. Until you get to chapter 9. When the enemy came in to the home camp and won. The men of Gibeon were Hivites, those God commanded to be destroyed. These Hivites knew victory for them would not come on the battlefield, but rather they would have to resort to other means. So they dressed like they had been traveling for many weeks. They brought bread that was dry and moldy to appear like they had traveled for months and months. They brought this trickery into the home camp. They told the Israelites they were from a very far country. And they asked the Israelites to make a peace treaty with them. It was a moment of decision for the leaders in the home camp. Because with their eyes, they saw the old clothes. They saw that dry, moldy bread. And they believed their lies, and they made a treaty with them. Instead of asking God for the truth of this situation, like they did many times in the past, they trusted their eyesight, they trusted their feelings, they trusted their intuitions. Israel fell to the Hivites in their own camp. They fell in this moment of decision. God has asked that the Bible-believing churches and homes, that we be bearers of the truth, that we would fight falsehoods and lies. Last time we saw how the church must fight the enemy, postmodernism. Postmodernism is the current way our culture defines truth. We saw how we, the church, must in the field, out in the battlefield, deal with postmodern views of truth that destroy the heart of Scripture and that keep us from the promised land. We saw how postmodernism has sought to infiltrate the church by saying that doctrine isn't important, that we really can't know truth, that all views of truth are totally equally right, and we must tolerate all opinions. The church, out in the field, must lead this battle for truth. But I want to go on record as saying that the church's fight for truth is futile if we allow false views of truth into our home camps. Though we be one church of 330 members, there are 155 small congregations, households, homes inside this church. Each household decides what is truth. Each household decides how they know truth. The problem is, if we allow the enemy in our homes, if we make a treaty with him in regards to truth in our home camp. It will hurt the church's fight for truth. The church is no stronger than the families that make it up. These spiritual highlights are seeking to enter every home. Every household here wrestles not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. In our home camps, in our houses, these 155 congregations, have we made a treaty with the enemy, these spiritual highlights? Have we succumbed to their postmodern trickery? What the enemy couldn't do out in the field, has he succeeded by entering into our homes? We want to look at five treaties many Bible-believing homes across the country have made with the enemy, postmodernism. Treaty number one, we won't tell our children right from wrong. In other words, we won't say no. Now, those of you who raised your children in the 60s and 70s, you are thinking, no one would ever think that way. Well, let's be frank. The spirit of postmodernism, which entered in the 80s and 90s and through 2011, it is strong as well as seductive. Postmodernism says to us, if you say no to your children, you don't love them. If you say no, you are being judgmental and you're imposing your view of truth upon your children. And after all, so postmodernism says, all truth is subjective. It's different for every person. And postmodernism says, if you say no, then the other children will know your child doesn't agree with them, and so he or she isn't being tolerant of them. Brothers and sisters, can you see the trickery? Can you see that the bread isn't really moldy? Don't fall for this trick. Scripture doesn't simply say, as parents, we have the right to say no. Scripture doesn't simply say, as parents, we have the privilege to know. Rather, it says we have the divine obligation to say no if our children want to do something which is contrary to Scripture. And if we don't say no, we're negligent as parents. Ephesians 6 verse 4. But bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. God says of Eli in 1 Samuel 3 verse 13 that he would judge him. Why did he say that? Because his sons made themselves foul and he very good. He restrained them not. In other words, no wasn't in his vocabulary. Suppose you saw your child walking out the door with a box of chalk and a ball. Later, you were driving on the Route 30 bypass, and you see your son in the westbound lane with some of his friends playing dodgeball. And it's rush hour at that. What would you do? You would get out of that car quickly and you would say, get off the road. You must do it absolutely now. You are not allowed on the road. You would not worry about imposing truth on him or being judgmental of his friends because your whole concern is his physical well-being. Parents, the spiritual Route 30 that our children are on is far more important than the physical Route 30. The spiritual roads have far more casualties. In saying no to wrong, we are blessing them, not cursing them. Blessing them with truth. Blessing them with spiritual safety. Blessing them to be safe from the consequences of sin. Parents, we have a decision to make. Either we decide to accept postmodernism's view of tolerance and false love and decide to make this treaty with them that we won't impose truth on our children, or we decide to follow God's design to judge truth, to judge right from wrong. It's our moment of decision. Tree number two that many Bible-believing families have made with the enemy postmodernism in the home camp is this. We will judge truth for our families by our feelings. Postmodernism says truth is inside you. You can realize truth internally. You don't need to get other resources to know truth because it's self-realized. Go with your feelings and intuitions. That's what postmodernism says. But scripture says that truth is only known through Jesus Christ, and Jesus is known through God's word. John 8, verse 31 and 32. Then said Jesus to those Jews that believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. See, truth is found in the word of God. Feelings are fickle. Feelings can't be truth. Feelings will be tainted by emotion. Feelings are a terrible gauge for measuring truth. Never, never tell your children, I feel it's right or wrong to do X, Y, Z. Always say, Scripture says it's right or wrong to do X, Y, Z. Point your children away from yourself. Point them away from your feelings and point them to the roadmap called the Bible, in which is Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, if as parents we judge what is right and wrong for them by our feelings, we are laying a foundation for our children to judge what is right and wrong by their feelings. Is that what we want? Parents, future parents, we have a decision to make. Either we accept postmodernism's view that truth is decided by our feelings, or we trust only God's word for measuring truth. It's your moment of decision. Treaty number three many Bible-believing homes have made with postmodernism enemy is this. We can be good parents without teaching doctrine. Postmodernism views doctrine, that is, truth about God and his ways, it views it as a great no-no. Because doctrine is truth, and postmodernism says we can't really know truth. And even if we can know it, we can't force it on others. So why focus on doctrine? Focus on things we all agree on. Focus on things that aren't as important as and as divisive. And sadly, that is a treaty that many parents have made in their home. Many Christian homes have basically been made doctrine-less. If you ask children in many Bible-believing homes across the country what the Great White Throne Judgment is, they might say, is that a new video game? There probably has never been a generation of children raised from Bible-believing churches who are so doctrinally illiterate as in our generation. And you say, Ray, I don't understand. Christian parents, they're busy teaching their children a lot of things. You say, Ray, look at all the Christian books parents have to read so they know how to raise their children. Ray, listen to all the Christian radio stations parents have to listen to so that they know how to raise their children. Well, I did. And they are doctrinally destitute and advise parents to be doctrinally destitute in raising their children. Parents are being taught how to make checklists for your kids. Parents are being taught by these Christian organizations how to organize their child's toys. Parents are being taught, I didn't even know this was something. They are being taught the Christian way to potty train your toddler. Parents are being taught how to apply human psychology with their children. Christian parents are getting overloaded with information. 5 steps to be a good parent. 7 steps to be a good parent. 12 steps to be a good parent. And parents, they're getting this tons of information, but a lot of it is extra-biblical and trivial. And parents are getting frustrated. So much information, how do they follow it all? And the sad thing is, in all this information, doctrinal teachings is hardly even mentioned. We are trying to reform our children like we do prisoners in state penitentiaries, instead of transforming them through God's Word. The best book on parenting is God's Word. And he only needed 21 words in Ephesians 6:4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Teach them God's Word. Talk to them about what is sin. And apply it to their life situations. Talk about obedience and faith and the resurrection of Jesus Christ and what it's all about. Talk to them about the judgment seat of Christ and the great white throne judgment. Deuteronomy 6, verse 6. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. I don't care what the enemy postmodernism says. As parents, we must teach doctrine. We must stop the pursuit of the trivial and instead pursue doctrine in our children's life. We cannot hand them this dry, moldy bread of human reasoning and psychology and ignore the honey of God's Word. Don't make this treaty with these spiritual highlights, these postmodernists dressed up in Christian garb. Andrew Murray, an old writer, said, parents, God's Word is your child's heritage from the Father in heaven. And you are commissioned to lead him or her into the knowledge and the love and possession of its treasures. Make it a matter of earnest prayer that you may wisely and rightly do this. Unquote. Parenting isn't complex. It isn't frustrating if you accept God's desire to make the teaching of doctrine the main characteristic of being a good parent. Parents, we have a decision to make. Either we make a treaty with the postmodernists to follow all their formulas and be doctrineless, or we follow God's design to transfer doctrine and make it a main priority of parenting. It's your moment of decision. Treaty number 4 that many Bible-believing homes across the country has succumbed to is this. We will criticize authority in front of our children if we choose to. An aspect of postmodernism that we didn't look at yet is that postmodernism thinking and authority don't get along. And it's easy to know why, isn't it? Postmodernism says, I decide truth. I decide what is right, and everyone must be tolerant of my views. But authority's job is to guide people along the path of truth that authority knows is right. And so there is this conflict. Authority tries to guide in truth, but postmodernism says, that's my decision, bug off. In the home, this treaty with the enemy has devastating consequences. Brothers and sisters, every time you criticize authority, you are also attacking the honor of that position, not just the person or the idea they hold. Every time you criticize authority, your children never look at a person in that position with the same respect as they did before. You as a parent might think you're only chopping down an error in authority, but in reality, you are really chopping the whole foundation of authority in your children's minds. When you, in front of your children, call a minister, he's too legalistic, or he's too liberal, or he's a Pharisee, or he's a hypocrite, or he doesn't take a stand for anything, you, in reality, are wrecking the God-ordained authority structure in your child's mind. Authority cannot help those who don't honor their position. And that's why Scripture emphasizes honor of authority, not just submission to it. Ephesians 6, verse 2, honor thy father and mother. 1 Timothy 5, 17, let the elder that rules well be counted worthy of double honor, especially that labor in the word and doctrine. 1 Peter 2, 17, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. You see, when we feed our children a steady diet of criticism of authority, this food will surely cause to grow in their hearts a disdain and a distrust and a dislike for those in authority. An authority you don't respect, you don't listen to, and you don't take advice from. For example, if at Upper Conowaga Church of the Brethren, if there would be a family there that would be constantly criticizing Upper Conowaga's ministry team, and then that family would be out on a cruise, and the daughter would fall overboard, and the ministry team at Upper Conowaga would want to get involved. So Brother Harry now, and Brother Allen now, and the Rettdale King, the ministry team, they all jump into the Atlantic, and they swim out to the middle of the Atlantic. And they finally get to the daughter that's swimming there, and they say to her, keep your head above water. You know what she would do? She would put her head under water. Here's a quote I want us to remember. The ministry team you roast in front of your children today will be the ministry team you will want to rescue your child tomorrow. And let's be honest. Every family, we have those moments of crisis in our families. We have those moments when there's needs, where we want authority, church authority, to get involved and to help. But if we put a brick wall, a mile deep between our child and the ministry team, there is no way they can help. We, the ministry team here at Pleasant Hill, we want to transmit truth to your children through sermons. But the brick wall that parents can put up prevents the transmission and reception of truth. We want to help your children in life situations. But the brick wall that parents can put up makes it impossible for advice to be taken in. Last time we mentioned the most quoted verse in the Bible. Remember the one, judge not that you be not judged? I thought as I was getting this lesson, possibly the least quoted verse in the Bible, and it's because of our postmodern age, is Hebrews 13, 17. Why don't we read that together? That way we can all say we heard someone quote it to us. Let's turn to Hebrews 13, verse 17. And we're going to read this together. I'll give you a little time to get that. I know I had judge not, that you be not judged, thrown in my face multiple times. But I never had this verse thrown in my face. Hebrews 13, 17. Let's read that together. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourself, for they watch for your soul as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. James 1, verse 21 says, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. I want to ask us, have my children, have your children, saw an attitude of meekness towards the word that was preached from this pulpit? Have they saw in our lives an attitude of meekness towards church authority? But you know, it doesn't stop there. Mom, when you criticize your husband in front of your children, you are bringing dishonor to his position as father. You are putting a wall up to prevent the transmission of truth from the father to the children. No matter how right you are, moms, I plead with you, don't do it. Instead, encourage respect and honor for the father's position. Praise him in front of your children. Don't chop him down. Husbands, when your children see us putting our needs before our wives' needs, when they don't see that agape love like scripture commands we give towards our wife, they doubt the authenticity of our Christianity. They think, if dad can't love his wife like Christ commands, why do I need to obey dad's commands? We put a wall up that prevents the transmission of truth. Mom and dad, remember, we will reap what we sow. Sow seeds of doubt of authority when they are young, and someday they will undoubtedly doubt your authority. Without a doubt. Criticizing authority in this postmodern age feels so right, but it's so wrong. Are there Hivites in your home camp? We have a decision to make. Either we accept postmodernism's view that I have the right to show disrespect to authority and make a treaty with the Hivites, or we decide to follow God's design of promoting honor of authority within our homes. It's a moment of decision. The fifth treaty postmodernism wants Christians' homes to agree to is this. We will divorce relationship from obedience in our homes. Years ago, Christian homes taught that a relationship with God had to include obedience to God's word, or it wasn't a real relationship with God. Today, in many homes, postmodernism has divorced obedience from relationship. The focus is on how we feel towards God instead of what we do towards God. Postmodernism likes they like the feelings part because it's subjective and no one can judge it, and we self-authenticate ourselves. Postmodernism doesn't like the do part because that includes objective, absolute truth that sets boundaries on what we can or can't do, and it imposes truth on us. Scripture says that emphasizing a relationship with God that doesn't include obedience in living is being on very dangerous ground. John 14:23-24. Jesus answered and said unto them, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. Jesus is plainly saying that if we don't seek to obey him, we do not love him. And you cannot have a relationship without love. When a soldier runs away from his command post, we call him a traitor. When a son doesn't listen to his father, we call him a prodigal son. But when a child of Christ chooses to run from truth, and as long as he feels right with God, somehow or another we call him a friend of God. How can this be? John 14:21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. You want to see Christ manifest himself to you? Don't search from feelings. Don't seek emotional highs. Just trust and obey, for there's no other way. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. It's amazing, David, as you look through the Psalms, he's probably the Old Testament writer that most talks about a relationship with God. You know, as a deer panteth for the water, so my soul panteth for you, O Lord. Over and over, he talks about that intense relationship with God. But as you also read through the Psalms, over and over, David emphasized obedience to God's word and a love for God's word and trying to live for God. He does not divorce the two. They are one. Moms and dads, either we decide to accept this postmodern view in all its trickery and make this treaty, or we decide to teach our children that relationship includes obedience. It's your moment of decision. The Israelites, they were stuck with the Hivites because they had made this treaty with them. They could not break the treaty. I want to encourage us. If you have made a treaty, if you're in a league with these strongholds of postmodernism, it can be broken. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of God. I want to encourage us with a couple decisions we can make to break the treaties. First of all, and this is probably the hardest, decide to apologize to your children. Children respect immensely authority who says, I'm sorry. Tell them you're sorry if you allow wrong perceptions of truth in your home. Tell them you're sorry if you should have said no and you didn't say no because you based truth on your feelings. Your children will respect you. Children do desire boundaries. They desire an authority structure. Secondly, set up a time of devotion in family worship, using God's word. Throw away those books that don't emphasize instructing your child in doctrine. Throw away the doubtings some of you might have about the clarity of Scripture. Throw away your doubts that you're not capable of explaining Scripture. There isn't a mother or father here that isn't capable of opening God's word, reading it, and explaining basic truth to your children. There's no one here that can't do that. Thirdly, I want to encourage you to make the decision to start viewing the no word as a blessing and not a curse. If Scripture, not your feelings, says something is wrong, don't be afraid of brother peer pressure or sister tolerance or aunt feelings or uncle subjectivity. But don't just say no. Explain to them why Scripture says no. Your children will respect you for that. In closing, the last decision I hope we make. Repair the breaches in your child's authority mindset. Do all you can to have them respect authority. Decide to not criticize authority in front of them. That brick wall needs brought down. If you wait too long, this wall will be between you and your child. Talk good about authority. Set an example in your life of reverence for church authority, as well as reverence for the husband's authority. Do it quickly. The moment of decision. These treaties with the enemy. We won't tell our children right from wrong. We will guide truth by our feelings. We will be good parents without teaching doctrine. We will criticize children authority in front of our children. We will divorce relationship from obedience in our homes. Can you see through the dry, moldy bread? Can you see the craftiness of postmodernism parenting? Can you see its lies, its seductions? The Israelites made the decision to follow their human sight and feelings instead of taking counsel from God's word. In our moment of decision and parenting, let's look to God and his truth and reject the lies and falsehoods of Satan as we journey through life. My prayer would be that every home here would join the church in fighting in the field those false perceptions of truth. May God bless you.